at 5:30, we're going to call the meeting to order. You will stand for the pledges.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you. All right. Okay, good. As you probably figured out from the kids outside, they were screaming about pancakes and so forth. Shrove Tuesday. So why do we have pancakes on Shrove Tuesday?
Tony, that's something to say back there.
It's Mardi Gras, but I'll take your Shrove Tuesday. I'm not supposed to be here. Okay.
It's also that, too. This is also true.
Tell us what.
You came off easy. I don't have to do the sermon tomorrow. And I'm
I'll get you tomorrow.
We have this as a practice of preparation for Lent. You know, the idea with pancakes and all is to get rid of eggs and butter and stuff like that. Rich foods that you would not partake of during the 6 weeks of Lent. Not all of us are Roman Catholic or Lutheran or celebrating Lent particularly, but that's what the tradition is all about. We forget sometimes why we do the things that we do. It is always wise to remember why it is that we begin our times, our goings in and goings out with prayer. Because we need God in our lives. Let us pray. Eternal Lord, ruler of all, graciously regard those who you have set in positions of authority among us, that guided by your Spirit, they may be high in purpose, wise in counsel, firm in good resolution, and unwavering in duty, that under them we may be governed quietly and peaceably through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Okay, we don't have any public comments that are not on the agenda. We don't have any other public comments, period. But I would like to take this time really quick to say congratulations to Ms. Amy on completing her Texas Municipal Clerk certification. So, very awesome. And then he's not here, but Josh is retiring with 23 years, and there's going to be a little kind of punching whatever on the 23rd at the fire hall from 8:30 to 10. Just gonna thanking him for his years of service. So with that, we'll move into the consent agenda items of approving the regular council meeting minutes from February 2nd and or the approval of the Llano Police Department's 2025 racial profiling report and comparative analysis.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes. Moving into the regular agenda items, discussion and possible action to approve a resolution of R-2026-10 regarding the sale of surplus city assets. Kim, do you want to speak or...
I know I have my name on it, but pretty much everybody's stuff.
So, and again, we'll say thank you to Blake. I know that there was a lot of other people that helped you guys out, the electric department, the street department, whoever else was in on cleaning the city yard, kind of did a drive-by, looks fantastic. So a lot of these surplus assets come from the city yard, is that correct?
Yes.
So do you have anything to say, or?
That's all.
It's all on the list. Yes. Okay.
I don't know. By some of these pictures, they don't necessarily look like assets. But, but I move to approve the sale of the surplus assets.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion? There being none. All of those in favor? say aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed? The motion passes. Number two, discussion and consider the approval of the 2026 Llano City Council work plan. Mr. Finley.
I've actually seen a list of your lists a couple of times previously. This is a process that council began in November of 25 and really kind of wrapped up about 2 or 3 months later with our 8 planning themes and about 8 or 3 action steps. And you can consider adopting it as is. You can consider adopting it with amendments. You can take another look at it if you'd like. Certainly, it's meant to be a living document that can be amended and changed. It certainly doesn't mean that this is the only work we're going to do, but this is what you kind of pointed us in the direction of doing over our sessions and our tours of the facility. We have to answer any questions. Just briefly, the kind of the different areas or different components are made up of planning, and that's primarily grassroots planning. That is planning that's done a lot at with stakeholders and at the board and committee level, focusing on water infrastructure, capital improvement, staffing, public communication, public engagement. You wanted to create a path that is transparent, consistent, that builds public's expectations in the city in terms of communication, as well as correct some inconsistencies from language on the website versus language that's posted at a park or things like that. Capacity building is just increasing community involvement, internal, external communication, creating synergy, primarily through city boards, committees, stakeholder groups, other entities. Also going to use this formalize some of our emergency management practices and procedures. Customer service, we talk a lot about trying to better serve our customers and our residents, how we handle inquiry, as well as some things that we would like to put together in terms of how we deal with business and commercial development, residential development, utility capacity and extension. Finance, just again taking a look at ways that we can not only give you the data to make decisions, but also give you the perspective of the data to make decisions. Personnel, again trying to make a consistent, fair and consistent compensation plans, as well as job grading. Trying to make sure that if we have plans for training and improvement, we do that for all employees. Payment for certifications, we do that, have opportunities for all employees. Image and pride, again, that we should be setting the standard or the example of good stewardship, as well as taking a look at going from maybe a reactive to a proactive enforcement on substandard dangerous buildings. And then governance, just looking at some of our policies, and again, if they're good, leave them where they are and enforce them. If they're not enforceable, then change the ordinance. But those associated tasks are included in the rest of the document. We have to answer any questions.
I know this is kind of a big ask, but we have a timeline on this.
I did include the timeline with the previous spreadsheets I showed you. I just included the tasks here. And I will say this, it's you want to do everything at once, and it's some things we won't get to 83 items. And I think the timeline is probably a little aggressive, but that's what we want to target, I think, initially.
Who will be identifying new stakeholders? Is that staff, or is that something that you want help from the council?
Well, I think council needs to probably identify stakeholders.
Okay, and the gathering of people for committees and whatnot, I would hope that...
It's kind of the same answer. Ultimately, it's council, but staff may offer you some suggestions.
So it's not one individual going, I want these people on it.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
it's one group of people that decide.
Thank you. I think it's great that we do a great job.
Yeah, I think it's part of your, maybe it's part of your, you know, bi-weekly updates. You can share what the current priorities are and what we're working towards. I'm sure that's part of your plan going forward for communication, so I think that would be something that would be well received.
Staff, we talked about this in our staff meeting this morning, that this now becomes, you know, a regular document that we refer to in our staff meetings, you know, in terms of where are we on certain tasks and not just. No comments.
Larry, are you good? Do you have any?
It's kind of a living document that can change daily and as needed. Yeah, so I think this is a good start. A real good outline, good guideline to start with. I think it's super good. Super good output if you're good.
Make a motion to approve.
I second.
So we have a motion to approve with a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Thank you, Finley. That was a good job. Okay, moving into number three, discussion and possible action to create best practice policy for project management.
Mayor Pro Tem Council, this is an item that the mayor and Mayor Pro Tem suggested that we put together. It is a very, very much a list of anecdotal experiences as well as some things that we went through with the Cox arbitration and other public works projects. It's not an all-inclusive list. It's just, as I was sitting there thinking about all the different things that we could have done or should have done or did do, this was a list I came up with. In terms of your what we're asking you to do tonight is not necessarily approving anything, just for discussion. If you would like to have staff formalize it, you might give us that direction. We can bring you back something with a little more definition, as well as, you know, even a policy resolution of some sort. But I'll just run through a couple of items on this, and again, these are in no particular order, but, you know, procurement, I think we want to make sure that we follow the guidelines, particularly if the scope of the project meets the monetary value, as well as certain public works are identified statutorily as requiring professional design. That's engineer, architect. It's just always better to obviously follow all of the statutory guidelines as well as your local policies in terms of procurement. Project file, can be done digitally anymore, but I used to like having a project file with all these different items in it, and I could flip to the surety documents, the notice to proceed, correspondence, the data reports of observations, oversight, and again, this is in addition to, in my opinion, there may be some disagreement based on the scale of the project, but in addition to an architect engineer oversight, I think you need staff looking at the project every day and at least noting the observation. Are they the official inspector? No, but you can troubleshoot quite a bit by having somebody on that project every day. And it's helpful to the contractor normally as well. Pay requests. We've caught a lot of pay requests that were signed by an engineer architect that were not accurate, so don't ever sign off anything until you verify it, even if an engineer or architect has already signed it. We don't assist within, inside or outside the scope of the contractors, just because that could possibly jeopardize the warranty. The surety, phone verify all bonding documents. It wasn't a bond to the city, it was a bond to a company but it was a forged bond that actually drew the city into having to defend the fact that, hey, that's not our bond. So there are forgery bonds out there, and that's why we always want to phone verify all bonding documents. references, we always check references, code compliance. If it requires sprinklers in any building and the city has the same kind of building, you need to put sprinklers in it. If it requires permitting, they need to pull permits for a city project. You can elect to waive the fee for the permit, but they still have to go through that process and do all of the inspections. Geotech, normally the owner is going to be responsible for any geotech. We don't want the contractor to hire their own geotech, which would end up designing their foundation for them. So we always, geotech is always in the owner's responsibility. As the project gets larger, with more exposure, there's a greater level of risk management. Similar to what we're seeing on our tanks, we've got third-party inspectors. We've got, you know, sometimes I've gotten a plan set from a engineer architect, and I will show it to two or three contractors just to say, does this work? Or what do you think of this? Or what do you think of this specification for this component? So we always want to check and double check, even if the items from the design professional. Plan review, we need to walk every project. It doesn't matter. I walked the sidewalk project and pointed out there's probably half a dozen things that were either in the wrong place or didn't make sense that you always want to know. And then typical is you probably at some point, and these are something that are in somewhat of a boilerplate availability, but prepare and approve accepted city of Llano standards and specifications and standard contract documents. Again, they don't work for everything, but it's handy to be able to, when somebody says, well, what do you require for a street? You have a typical standard specification for that item that you can manhole, valves, et cetera. So these are just, again, some very brief notes that I've made and for council's discussion this evening and certainly any direction you'd like to go.
Thank you, Finley. So part of this, as we talk about kind of the lessons learned over a few, the Cox paving, a little bit over the water tower project, you look into contract management, oversight, not necessarily being a full-on project manager, but, is there any little bit of training that we can kind of talk to our staff that might be kind of put into this positions of the do's and don'ts? Because certainly we don't want to dictate means and methods of your contractors. We kind of got into a little bit of that with the Cox paving litigation on some of that. There needs to be in the pre-con meeting, a very in-depth dive into the contract on some certain roles and responsibilities that may have gotten left out with the Cox paving and where we were on that. Somewhere along the ways, they thought that it was best to cut out the inspection by the engineers. That is something that is definitely needed. Whether it's engineering third party, somebody needs to be that person that comes in and oversees that contract and make sure that things are adhering to the contract. There's a part of a pre-construction meeting where you can cover a lot of that and with our other water tower projects coming up, I think we need to take a pretty good dive into that and understand, too, the third parties, what their roles and responsibilities are. I think with the land and lane, there was a little bit of some not full understanding of what the third party inspector, between them and the engineer, what they could do. So it's just more or less... when you don't do it every day, you don't see it, you don't kind of know what to document, you don't know some of those things. Finley definitely has a different set of eyes than in the past. So, where that goes to with our staff, but giving them the best tools to do the job so that we don't find ourselves in this situation again. Mm-hmm. So.
I agree with that, and I agree, when you look forward at all of the potential projects and the scope and scale and cost associated with what we may need to do in 5 to 10 years, I think it's prudent to do this. Did Lampasas have something similar, or do you remember, it's common in larger organizations, but I don't know how common it is across cities.
We did to a certain extent. We had checklists and
Right.
And most of it was just habits from tenured staff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So somebody who's been around long enough, they knew how to keep a file, file, and what order to keep items in, and things like that. We didn't have a document that said, this is how you manage a project.
Right. And I know you said it, but every project's a little bit different. It depends on the scale and the scope of it. And I think it's relevant that it's partially a knowledge capture, knowledge transfer exercise as well. You know, Josh leaves, there's going to be certain knowledge that walks out, right? So if the question is, should we create one, I'm supportive of it. I also think it's one of those things that you don't have to recreate the will. There are plenty out there. It doesn't mean we adopt it without making certain amendments, but we can start with something that's tried and true. Clearly, Exxon was extremely had a policy for everything. How to tie your shoes, we probably had a policy, but we could take a company's policy that we feel is comfortable. I'm sure LCRA has one, and then make the amendments as appropriate for a city like ours. So I'm supportive.
You know, you're talking about documents and documents lost. When you have a paper box and what's in that paper box is your project file. It's really hard to make your case when there's gaps in email, because there wasn't a litigation hold on email and that fell off after 2 years, and keeping up with all of the info that you needed. But, if it's a file, multi-purpose electronic project file and a hard copy file, you probably can never have too much data sometimes on projects or whatever, but when you're handed this box, and this box is your project file, and it's not organized in any way, it makes it really hard. So,
the only thing, Finley, I'd like to add is how council is involved in this, because my recollection, especially with Cox Paving, it was brought to council as we didn't want to spend the extra money for having another set of eyes, engineers, to come and look to see what was being done or not being done. And so I feel like if you could put this in there somewhere, that anytime a big decision needs to be made, I think common sense would prevail here, but maybe we need to get approval or disapproval from our legal counsel. Mm-hmm. And instead of just going, oh, well, yeah, we're going to be saving some money, but did we really save that money because of our litigation in the long run? So I think that kind of needs to be put in here somewhere. I know counsel is only as good as the information they're given, and, somebody wants to save money, they can spend it however they want it. But I just feel like maybe legal should be in tune on any of these bigger decisions.
I'm assuming that would apply to probably, you'd have to kind of quantify a little bit, major variances either in process or probably cost. I mean, we don't want to micromanage project either, so we want to make sure we've got some definitive, at least some guidelines there on maybe how that would take effect.
What I can do is do some additional research, see what kind of resources exist out there, and then we can keep it on as a discussion item and see which direction council would like to go.
I'd personally like to see you, if you can, bring it back as soon as possible, and let's get this in writing so we don't keep repeating their mistakes.
Very good.
Thank you. Anything else? Good? Okay. City manager report.
Got 6 minutes. Just a few brief items. Ground storage tank, there was inspection conducted on February 6th by the city's third-party inspector. They also reviewed welding preparation for the door on February 10th. After consultation with the engineer and inspector, the city did email consent to proceed. Door fitting was done on the 10th. Welding commenced on the 11th, and you have, as an attachment, McGuire's revised schedule, which calls for the tank to be back in service on or about March 4th. Airport, we did review the proposals for the airport layout plan and did select the highest ranked firm as KSA Energy. We sent that scoring tally to TxDOT, who actually will contract and administer the project. We will have input regarding scope, and we will include some stakeholders in that process. ALP is going to include things like future needs, growth projections, capital plan, and it'll take about 40 to 48 weeks. We will be interviewing, as additional item, interviewing airport managers this Thursday. Dredging, we have circulated a draft maintenance agreement for Town Lake and Robinson Lake related to dredging. It has been provided to the contractor for review and comment. We've also requested a meeting to review means and methods of dredging to limit any impact on our water supply. The use of water, primarily by collier and washstand, has been identified as a possible regulatory issue that will have to also be resolved prior to consideration.
We talked about it many months ago, but what did we determine? There was a permit that had expired and we needed to reapply, or what was
the... The contract had expired, I don't think...
In the permit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the permit they got the first 10 years and then asked us to...
We actually got the permit,
okay. But
it's the, and then we contracted with them.
Right.
And so it's to redo that permit for the dredging.
Is that being worked still, or where's that at? You know,
it's still in the works.
That's
yeah.
The colliers.
Okay. Oh, yeah. They own getting the permit. Is that right?
I think
okay.
Yeah. We shoved that off on them.
Okay. Do we have any sense on when we might commence dredging or discuss? Is it too early to tell right now?
I'd probably be guessing, but I think what we need to do is resolve a couple of these issues, mm-hmm. Sit down with them, and we can work out a schedule
okay.
At that point. You have probably also seen the city of Atlanta was identified as a top 10 outdoor town in Texas by Texas Parks and Wildlife Magazine. In addition to outdoor amenities, it also highlighted local businesses. Thanks to Tony for talking us up with those folks. LADC met on February 9th, reviewed finances. They did ask that a future agenda item include the consideration of making final payment on LADC debt. At this point, it's going to save them perhaps about $7,000, but it's still a savings of some money. Also, they will be talking about LADC priorities as well as how we can better support existing businesses. City Hall staff spent some time this past week reviewing possible improvements to exterior stairway, upper porch, and sidewalks. That was brought to light by a recent accident. The other thing that we also would like to take a look at is improved lighting, consistent tread spacing, possible flat work at the base of the stairway. We have talked to a contractor about potential possible improvements, and we'll report to council as progress is made. Downtown sidewalk staff, well, we had previously reported to you about the status of design and advertising for replacement of sidewalks between Main Street and Haney on the west side of Ford. We found out last week that there was a only part of that project was environmentally clear. There was about one-third of the project that was not environmentally confirmed, so or cleared. We were presented two options. You could do two-thirds of the project, and of course everybody that drive by is going to say, why didn't they just do the whole thing, right? So we opted to take the time to go ahead and get the complete environmental clearance and do that project. Probably advertise that in June. It'll take probably 90 days for that clearance to be updated. City yard, and again, as evidenced by the agenda language and to declare surplus items, we have done a cleanup of the city yard. It's probably not done. There's always stuff to do down there. We've just got more items that we think are potentially surplus that we'd like to get out of the way, as well as straighten up, clean up, maybe even a little new tin on some items down there as well. We have also, the street department has relocated to the city yard. We think that will be more convenient to them and closer to their work. Did I miss a page? Oh, pool. The pool, an engineer from Landmark Pools was out to inspect the pool on February 12th. He should have a report back to us in about 3 weeks. Water, staff has communicated council's decision on firm water contract and the drought and conservation plans to LCRA, the plan contractors, and our council on the matter. The communication indicated that water remains a critical issue for the city and council, and the council may elect a modified path moving forward. And we also encouraged at that time to keep open lines of communication. And, you know, I think this is certainly on the list, but we also seek council input on any additional stakeholder groups you'd like to put together on water planning, or project scoping. JLK, one of the workers gave Brittany the little heat map that you see down there. I just think it's a great visual. It gives you an idea of, you know, kind of where people are coming from to Lando. And so anyway, it's just kind of interesting. I wish we could do this on all our events to kind of see what our draw is. Brittany also reported this past Saturday and Sunday there were over 300 entries in events. And some of those entries actually stayed over from a Wednesday or Thursday event. So they stayed in the RV, you know, in their RV for the entire weekend plus the weekday events. I may have been out of order, but I think I got everything. And just to let you know, I'll be out of the office on Friday, but available by phone.
Okay. Any other comments? Anything else? All right. There being none, we are adjourned at 6:02.